1 Kings chapter 16. This is kind of an unusual message, probably one that you've never heard before. A lot of people never preach on Ahab and Jezebel. But I think that there are a lot of lessons that you can learn from the lives of wicked people. 1 Kings 16 and verse 30, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing, for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, and which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." I want to preach this morning a message entitled "The Hellish Home." Now, the marriage of Ahab and Jezebel was an unholy union that marked them out as perhaps the most infamous couple in all of the Bible. And if you study the history of Israel, you'll find that their marriage, their wickedness, the way that they set an example to Israel, affected the entire nation. They led Israel into unrestrained idolatry and corruption. And the evil fruit of their marriage union produced some of the most wicked children that are found in all of the Word of God. You know what? They corrupted themselves. By their example, they corrupted their children. And ultimately, they corrupted the entire nation of Israel. You know what's interesting about the Bible? A lot of people say, well, that was written so many years ago. How does it apply today? It applies today because we got pretty much the same Ahab and Jezebel in the White House. It does apply today. Now, we're to pray for our rulers. But the fact of the matter is, leaders, when they go corrupt and are polluted, they lead others into corruption and into pollution and into ungodliness. And if you're not careful, you're going to find yourself justifying your sin because your leaders justify their sin. That's what happened in Israel. Now, the home is where Satan is busiest today. You know that? The devil wants to destroy your home. He wants to bring chaos. He wants to bring idolatry. He wants to bring ungodliness into your home. You better be careful. The reason why churches and morals in America are becoming weak, because homes are increasingly becoming weaker and weaker. And we want to look at some characteristics of the hellish home of Ahab and Jezebel. First of all, you'll notice that Ahab disobeyed God when it came to picking a marriage partner. They were unequally yoked. All right, now we got a lot of young people here. Young people, here, stay with me. All right, listen up. Let me tell you something about Ahab. He went contrary to the Word of God. Young men, you two boys sitting on the front pew, young men, listen to me. When you start to look for a wife, you better find one that loves the Lord. that loves the things of God, that's going to be a good wife and a good mother to your children. You understand what I'm saying, Colby? Because I'll tell you why. Marriage is something you better enter into with great seriousness. Because you know what? You can wreck your whole life by picking the wrong woman. Better be careful. You know what God had commanded the Israelites? They commanded them not to take a wife of the heathen idolatrous nations in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And young people, young ladies, you better pick, when it comes time for a man, and I know how it is, you get 7th, 8th, 9th grade, you know, you start liking each other and all this stuff. Listen to me. You better look for a man that loves the Lord, that's going to be a good leader in the home, that's going to provide a living for your family and be good to your children and take them to church and be a right example. Because if you, as a Christian, marry outside the Lord, you're going to be unequally yoked, and that unsaved individual is going to have a great influence on your children. Be careful. Ahab and Jezebel were unequally yoked. Jezebel was an ardent, fervent worshiper of Baal. She was an idolater. You know what her dad's name was? Ethbaal. Means father of Baal, follower of Baal. All right? He was a man of Baal. She was from the land of the Zidonians. That was the capital for Baal worship. Ahab went to the wrong place looking for a woman. You know, a lot of men make that same mistake today. Rather than looking for a godly woman in one of the Lord's churches, they go hither and yon everywhere else, and they base their choice of a wife merely on looks. You know that old saying, beauty's skin deep. I remember I used to work for a guy, he said, yeah, beauty's skin deep, but ugly's clear through. Sometimes that's true. But the fact is this, if you base all your decisions on the outward appearance, you get yourself in trouble. I've seen a lot of pretty women that were pretty on the outside that were full of corruption, and they were gossips, and they were disobedient, and they weren't submissive to their husbands. They didn't care a lick about their children. I'm telling you something, that's not what's most important, Aaron. You better find a woman that fears God, that loves Him with all of her heart. Mixed marriages are forbidden. You look at Solomon. What was it that corrupted him? The many wives that he took who were idolaters. Ahab must have been enticed by the beauty and the forceful personality of Jezebel. He was more interested in physical looks than spiritual qualities. You read Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 7, and you ought to read those to your children. You know what it points out? That a young man can make a mess of his life if he goes after harlots and ungodly women. That's what Ahab did. So the hellish home, first of all, here, is built on the wrong foundation. Ahab went looking for the wrong kind of woman. He got it, and it got him in trouble. All right? Now, secondly, you'll notice that Ahab and Jezebel, once they formed this unholy union, that Jezebel influenced him to begin worshiping other gods. It wasn't bad enough that Ahab was already walking contrary to God. It wasn't enough that he chose Jezebel to be his wife, but then they began to build altars to Baal in what was supposed to be the house of God. They had no fear of the true and living God. They brazenly defied and rebelled against the first two commandments, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," yet they were putting other things before the true God. "And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and bow thyself down unto them." That's exactly what they did. They set up idols. Hey, what's your idol today? Maybe it's yourself. Maybe it's money, possessions, prestige. Maybe it's the TV or sports or entertainment. Do you know what they did? Two sanctuaries were erected by Ahab and Jezebel unto Baal. In Samaria, they had 450 priests, and in Jezreel, there were 400. The hellish homes are filled with idolatry, where the true God is forsaken and idolatry is rampant. And you know what? You better be careful about what you put first in your life, because usually your children will follow after. What are you wedding your affections to? By the example that you give to your family. You know what the Bible says there in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 18? It says, "And he answered," this is what Ahab said, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and hast followed Balaam." You know what that means? When you forsake God's commands and His service in your home, it's idolatry. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Ahab and Jezebel followed Baal. If Jesus Christ is not the apex and the center of our affections, our home will be in danger. And I fear that many religious people in America are serving gods of their own making and lust. Materialism, possessions, pleasure, ease have become the gods of most Americans. Who are you serving in your home? Do those that come in contact with you know that the true God is the center of your worship? That the Bible has a revered place? That Scripture means something to you? Do those that know you know that you're training your children in the things of God by word and by example? Are you doing it earnestly, diligently? Folks, don't be like Ahab and Jezebel. They put everything in the world before God. All right, then, thirdly, they were opposed to God's preacher. You know, Jezebel was the mold for Madeline Mary O'Hare, or whatever her name was, the atheist. You know what amazes me? That our country was so weak that in the 60s, one atheistic, godless woman was able, through her manipulation and deceit, and along with the stinking ACLU, she was able to get prayer and the Bible and any reference to God out of the schools, out of government. And I'm going to tell you what, that's a violation of your constitutional rights. I've been studying up on the Constitution lately. I've been listening to these tapes while I go to meetings. I'm going to tell you something, folks. America is no longer a constitutional republic. And it's been, you know what? Most people don't know a lick about the Constitution. I know I didn't know as much as I should have, but the president has signed an executive order that if there's turmoil in America, that all of our troops are to come under the United Nations, robbing us of our sovereignty as a nation. I'll tell you what, that's wicked. That's a violation of your constitutional right. There's nowhere in the Constitution that says that it's to be a freedom from religion. It's the freedom of religion and the freedom to express. Well, you know what? We're living in a country, much like they did in Israel back then, where leaders are opposing God's true preachers. Jezebel and Ahab opposed the people of God. They wanted to stamp out true worship. They wanted to kill God's true preachers. Let me show you a few passages here. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4. 1 Kings 18 verse 4, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord." Cut them off. Look over in verse 17. "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah," probably the most powerful preacher in his day, "that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" He was opposed, just like his wife, to the man of God. Chapter 19, verse 1. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." She was so brazen and filled with hatred that she threatened the life of one of God's choice preachers and prophets, Elijah. Look at chapter 22 and verse 7. Or verse 8. Let's read verse 7. "And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Why did he hate him? Because he didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. I can guarantee you something about Ahab and Jezebel. They probably had roast prophet quite often. They didn't like what Elijah and Micah and these other prophets were preaching. They didn't appreciate the truth. They didn't like being rebuked. They rebelled against the man of God and the truth that he spoke. You know what? You'll bring trouble upon yourself and your house. The Bible says, "Touch not the Lord and Lord's anointed." Now you know how I feel. All I believe I am is a sinner saved by grace. I don't believe that I deserve to be exalted above anybody else. I don't believe I possess any special powers over anybody else, but I tell you what, I am your pastor. I preach the truth of the Word of God as I've been ordained of God to do that. He set me over this flock particularly to feed you the truth. You know what? You need to pray for me. You need to love me. You need to respect me for the truth's sake. And I don't believe that I shouldn't demand respect. I believe it should be earned. And I try my best to preach the truth and practice it before you. And there's going to be things that you don't like what I've preached, or maybe I've had to come to you and give you a personal rebuke. But folks, I'm trying to prepare you for the judgment seat of Christ. And you need to pray for your pastor. Don't teach your children to rail on the man of God. Don't talk about him like he's a dog. I don't care who he is. Because you know what? They're going to grow up learning that you don't have to have too much respect for God's preachers. You look at today, in our day and age, there's no longer a respect for the man of God in the community. Be careful how you treat God's preachers. A man who preaches the truth is to be respected and prayed for, not persecuted, not talked about. He's worthy of double honor. If he labors in the word and in doctrine, he's to be loved. They oppose God's true preachers. Don't oppose the truth and those who preach it, or you'll bring trouble on your own home. It's a fact. All right, now another thing about Ahab and Jezebel. I mean, you talk about strikes against you. All right, they had their home based on the wrong foundation. They were unequally yoked. Number two, they were idolaters. They didn't serve God. They served themselves and the gods of Baal. Number three, they were opposed to God's preachers, his prophets who spoke the truth. They threatened their lives. They persecuted them. And fourthly, you look at their home and you'll find out that they were out of order. The order in the home is that the man is to submit to Christ in the Lord. He's to be the head. And the woman is to submit herself unto her husband as it is fit in the Lord. That's just Bible. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Keep your hand there. Keep your hand there. Colossians chapter 3. Now, folks, you want a hellish home? Men, you better be responsible. You better take your place. Not just with the figurehead of authority, I'm the head of the home, but live right. Love your wife as Christ loved the church, sacrificially, unconditionally. Be good to her. Don't treat her with disrespect. Jesus doesn't treat his church with disrespect, does he? You serve the Lord. You set the example and the tone. And see if your wife won't appreciate that. Colossians 3. And look at verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Ephesians 5, verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know what I find out in the hellish homes? Is usually, everybody thinks it's one-sided. You know? Well, my wife, she just wouldn't do right. Well, what's the wife say? Well, my husband, he was a louse. Folks, let me tell you something. Marriage is a contract. It takes work on both sides for it to work. And you got to keep things in their proper order or you're going to be a mess. You depart from God's recipe, and I guarantee you, you're going to bring trouble. Ahab was not the man of his house. In fact, he was a wimp. When he didn't get his way, he went crying to his wife. And she was the one that took charge. And next thing you know, they're guilty of murdering Naboth, stealing his vineyard. Hey, Jezebel was a domineering woman. Ladies, say, well, my husband, he needs a lot of improvement. Granted. But are you being submissive? Or are you being loud and stubborn? Turn over. I'm going to show you something. Turn over in Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. You got men who won't take responsibility and do what's right. And then you got women that won't be submissive. That won't do what the Bible commands. Proverbs 21 and look at verse 7. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Verse 9, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Look at, let's see here. Verse 19. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Look over at Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Verse 23, for an odious woman when she is married and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. Anytime you get out of order and you don't follow what the Bible teaches, the Word of God is going to be blasphemed. Titus 2, verse 3. You elderly women, here's what you're to be teaching. And you younger women, you're to learn from them. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, not loud-mouthed, to be chaste. That means to be virtuous and pure. Keepers at home, that's the main sphere of their activity. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Folks, you get out of order, you're going to have problems in your home. Look at America. Why is our country so weak? Why is there so much chaos? Satan knows if you can wreck up the homes, you got the nation. Why is divorce and abuse and wickedness and immorality so rampant in our day? Because people need to get back to the importance of doing things God's way in the home. In the home. Now, are you in order in your home? Husbands, are you being responsible heads? Hey, you're the one that's supposed to be getting up and going to church. Leading your family. You should be studying the Word and trying to teach it to your family. You're the one that ought to get out when it's cold on Sunday night and start the car and get it ready and drive your family to church. And ladies, are you giving your husband's promise by being rebellious and loud and stubborn when you ought to be submissive and loving and kind? Tell you something else about Ahab and Jezebel. When you got all those things wrong in your home, you can bet their children will be wicked. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. You know what? They trained up their children, but not in the way they should go. And the training they received and the wicked example that they set, they were training them in the art of wickedness. The same is true with us. What are we training our children for? How are we living before them? What course are we setting out for them? What ways are we walking in? Parents, we've got a responsibility to teach them, to train them. And children, you've got a responsibility to obey and respond and follow the truth. What kind of example are we setting in our homes for our kids? Boy, you look at their children. Let's just look at a couple of them. Jehoram. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 8. Second Kings 8, verse 25. Well, let's just read verse 27 for the sake of time. Notice, he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Turn over to 2 Kings 9, verse 21. And Joram said, make ready, and his chariot was made ready, and Joram the king of Israel and Ahaziah, they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? And Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Ahaziah, there is treachery, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms. And the heart went down in his heart. The arrow went down in his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. Folks, you live like Ahab and Jezebel, don't be surprised if your children follow in the same path. I teach my kids it's wrong to smoke. Do you think I'm sitting around with a pack of Marlboros? I teach them that it's wrong to drink alcohol. Do you think I sit around with Budweiser in my hand? I teach them wrong. That it's wrong to cuss. Do you think there's cuss words flying out of my mouth all the time? I teach them wrong, that it's wrong to chew, dip snuff. Ha! Yeah, sure do. Think I got a pinch between my cheek and gum? No. Folks, train your children in habits that are right, not in habits that are wrong. I train them that's right to read the Bible. Do your kids ever see you with the book open? Do they ever hear verses coming out of your mouth? Folks, let's be careful that our homes are not like Ahab and Jezebel. Make sure you're taking the responsibility of the marriage and home seriously. Because it doesn't have to. You know what happened to Ahaz and Jezebel? God prophesied that they would be judged, and that's exactly what happened. Their whole house was judged. The whole house was judged. But it doesn't have to be that way. Turn over to Psalms 128. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." Now notice, here's a guy that fears God, that walks in His ways, and what's the result? There's happiness. Verse 3, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around thy around about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." May God give us grace not to have hellish homes, but to have heavenly homes, where the Lord Jesus is the central focus. Let's give a proper example.